By the way I understand it, Councillor Thrace, you're suggesting that the food shortage will continue for at least another 3 years.
At least, Mr. Price.
Minister Price, if you don't mind.
Of course. My apologies. But the facts stand. If the workers keep getting sick at this rate, then eventually there won't be enough harvest to support the population, and the weakness from hunger will increase the risk of infection.
So what? You want me to force them to keep working even if they get sick?
I'm not saying that. I'm just informing you that the council members want to see an improvement in conditions here before the end of this next term, or else a great many people could find themselves without jobs, including a number of ministers. Minister Price?
I refuse to increase the suffering of my people any further. It's already pandemonium on the streets down there.
Perhaps you'd find it easier on your conscience if you were down there with them.
I don't like being subjected to threats, sir.
Oh, that was a mere statement of fact. An explanation of how this system works, if you will. If I were threatening you, then I'd have told you that if I don't see a 5% increase in worker productivity within the next quarter, then you and your family will find yourselves transferred to Vector 5.
Vector 5? But that's a red zone. You can't do that.
That sounded like a challenge.
No, Counselor. I'll work out a statement by the end of the week.
Excellent. That's the attitude I like to hear. Toodaloo!
Citizen of the year 3119, I've come to your time from your glorious past. I bring to you the solicitations of Her Majesty, Queen Victoria, the Empress of India. I understand that you weren't expecting visitors, but I presume you would have had some sort of temporal array to sense my approach.
Well, no. Is it you?
Ah, you've heard of me.
Well, yes. I remember you.
It may not be wise to tell me of my own future, but as you recognize me, I can only assume that I receive fame for my invention when I return home.
Invention?
Well, obviously, the time machine.
You're speaking as though you don't remember me.
Ah, I see. I think we're speaking at cross purposes. You think that because I'm a time traveler, I've come directly from the future. That's not the case. In fact, this is my maiden voyage into the future. My future, that is.
Are you trying to tell me you come from the past?
Well, of course. If I hadn't invented the time machine in my time, then you couldn't very well have them now, could you?
Have them now?
Oh, good grief. Has everybody in the future devolved into simplicity? Is this the legacy of my great species? Or is this just what becomes of England?
England?
Oh, this is obviously not getting us anywhere. Me, Elizabeth, I need to talk to someone in charge. Do you know who's in charge?
Now see here. I don't know if this is another one of your ridiculous games, but I'm having none of it. Not here, and not now. I had to work myself ragged to get over the turmoil you caused my reputation last time, and I won't have it happen again.
Oh, dear. I seem to have upset you. I don't know why I didn't expect this dilemma. The structure of language has probably changed unfathomably. we may not have a chance at open communication at all.
Hold on. Let's just stop for a moment. Just take a breath. Now, how about I have a cup of tea brought in, and we can sit down and try to talk this out sensibly and from the beginning?
Ah, a splendid idea. I'm glad to see that some things in England never change.
Hold that thought, because once we're sorted out, I think that should be our first order of business.
That. Although I can't help but mention that it tasted a little queer.
Tasted what?
Queer. You know, odd, strange. There was a beguiling quality to it.
Oh, I see. Actually, that doesn't mean that anymore. Now it's... Actually, no, never mind.
Continue with what you were saying, Mr. Price. You mean to tell me that this is indeed 3119... But aside from no longer being in England, I'm not even, in fact, on an earthly plane at all.
Well, I don't know about that, but you're not on Earth anymore, no. This is Jupiter. We settled here after the Great End, and we get signals from other citadels around the planet when one of the 17 larger moons is in the right position.
I see. I'm certainly not claiming superior knowledge, being from the past and all, but I was led to believe that Jupiter was awfully far away, and quite a deal bigger than Earth.
Well, yes, it is, but we got here eventually, and there are gravity pylons all around the circumference of the citadel, maintaining the atmosphere, holding in the heat, and equalizing the gravity.
Well, I suppose that makes sense.
You're not surprised? You're not failing to comprehend it all?
Mr. Price.
Minister. Or, if you like, you could call me Joshua.
Right. Minister Price? Joshua? I may be several centuries your inferior, but I believe that the people of my time should be credited, if not for their understanding of space mechanics, then to at least accept it when due evidence is offered to support it. Also, I hasten to point out that you are also speaking to the mother of time travel.
That leads me to my next question. How is it possible that you came here?
Oh, well, I won't bore you with what you probably already know about time travel from your own machines, but I rigged up my one using an element that I discovered to power it. A complex series of machines which charges the engines with the rays of the sun, infinitely magnified, of course, and an electrical connection to my mind which inputs the destination. My understanding was that by moving through time and not space, I would end up miles from Earth, since it moves in its orbit. The mind link allowed my mind to drift towards a settlement that contained my bloodline. I didn't expect it to drift all the way to another planet, though.
But that all sounds magnificent. And you come from when, did you say?
1883. I'll need the assistance of one of the machines from this time to get back, however, as I haven't actually formulated a way of travelling backwards yet, only forwards.
Right. Yes, I see. I'll have to file that into the save for later section. For now, I need to appeal to you for help.
Help? Me?
Yes. I'm afraid that I need the assistance of your time machine.
Whatever for?
I'll explain. A few years ago, the leader of one of the Venus colonies developed a toxin to stop the spread of a pest which was destroying the crops in several of their biodomes. It didn't go very well and quickly mutated to attack humans. In an attempt to escape the virus, several of the high-ranking officials fled to a Martian outpost, which was soon infected. Then, when the Imperial Prime of our own citadel went to the outpost to rally the inhabitants against becoming refugees, he got infected and brought it straight back here.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry.
So am I. But you have given me hope.
But what can I do?
Well, if I can go in your machine to the future, then I can simply pick up a cure and bring it back here.
want to take the time machine?
Yes, to save my people.
But why not use one of your own?
Look, Miss Elizabeth?
You can call me Miss Carter.
Very well. Miss Carter, this may come as a shock to you, but we simply don't have time machines here. It's not like a novel where we have time travel and teleportation with aliens or anything. This citadel was created and maintained through sheer hard work and proper investment in science.
No time machines?
No. None.
But that's impossible. I invented one. It stands to reason that every time period after I invented one should have them.
Look, I'm not going to go into a debate about the philosophy here. The bare facts are these. 1. You possess the only time machine that I know of. 2. My city is under threat of annihilation from disease and pretty soon starvation. And 3. You have it in your power to provide a chance to help every soul here if you'd just let me have your machine.
I'm sorry, but that simply isn't possible. Even if you did go to the future and find your cure, how would you get back? I can't travel backwards. Remember?
Perhaps I could bank on your original plan and hope they have time machines in a later period that I could use to return.
That leaves an awful lot to chance. And besides, there's only room for one in my machine.
Madame, please. I am begging you. I cannot sit idly by whilst my people suffer. I release food from the kitchens of the council chamber by a secret network, but even that doesn't settle the overwhelming number of starving there are on the streets. I have med packs flown in whenever I can, but no drugs we have will even delay the disease ravaging the homes of so many people. If you won't give me your machine, then I beg you, on my knees, use your machine and your knowledge to find a cure and help us in our hour of need.
I'm sorry. Can't.
What? Are you serious?
The machine is the property of the crown. And if it is, as you say it is, then I haven't had any noticeable effect on the timeline. So I couldn't change anything, even if I wanted to. Besides, you would have heard of me and my invention before now. This whole adventure is academic.
Academic? You're talking about millions of lives. How can you sit there and refuse to help them? Look here.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you see that smoke there, and there, and over there? That's where the bodies are being burned. It's all we can do to stop new diseases spreading from the corpses. There are more every day. Now look at them and tell me you won't help.
I'm sorry, but I can't get involved.
What if I were to take the machine from you right now? Oh! Hey, get back here!
I'm sorry. Really.
I won't let you leave with my one chance. Oh, my hand. It's burning. Please. Oh, my hand.
Episode 2A starred Tanya Milojevic as Elizabeth Carter, Pete Lutz as Joshua Price, and Boyd Barrett as Counselor Thrace. The show was written by Lewis Fleming Sterick and produced by Tom Rory Parsons, who is also the composer and editor. Sound effects were all created by Catherine Seaton, and artwork was made by Matt Leon. Thanks for listening.